right, prosecutor and defendants, you have a witness to bring to the stand in the murder trial of one Devin Bryant. Your first witness should come to the stand. Please call your first witness.
Thank you, Your Honor. I call the first witness, newspaper reporter Ms. Chase Headline.
Hi. So I guess I was there on the day of the murder. It was 10:30 a.m. and I walked in and I shot the victim in the head with a revolver.
Hold it.
Yes?
I want to follow something up here.
Yes?
How did you know it was 10:30 a.m.?
Okay. Well, I knew it was 10:30 a.m. because the parking meters on the street begin at 8 a.m. And I realized that I needed to put money in the parking meter because it was 10:30 a.m. Then I went across the street.
Okay, well, hold on. Objection. Objection, Your Honor.
What's an objection?
She said she did it. She said she murdered him.
Well, hold on. We need to get to the bottom of how she knew what time it was.
I think that's irrelevant, Your Honor, and we have a confession.
You're fucking irrelevant. This is my courtroom. Objection yourself.
Your Honor, to reach across the aisle here, the prosecutor does point out an important detail here, and I would like to press the witness on something.
Just you feel the witness is yours. But if I hear one more fucking thing out of you, buddy, this whole court trial is out here, then you're going to jail.
Yes, Ms. Headline.
Yes.
You said that you went to feed the parking meter.
Yes.
But the parking meter on the block of the crime scene doesn't become active until 12 p.m. So you're certain it was 10:30 a.m. when you were feeding the meter?
Oh, I should revise my statement. You're right. It must have been 12 o'clock then, yes. So I guess I didn't know that it was 10:30. I knew it was 12 o'clock when I walked in and shot the victim in the head with a gun.
Okay, objection. Of course.
No, object you! Fuck you!
You can't object me. This lines up with the time of death.
This lines up with... You know what it lines up? Look at my middle finger. Look how it lines up with your face.
Huh? All right. You don't gotta...
You're disbarred.
You're disbarred.
Your Honor, with all due respect, I may be going a little too far here.
You watch yourself, or you're gonna walk out of this. You're gonna walk out of this trial, also disbarred.
Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, never mind.
Unless we have any further objections, I declare the defendant not guilty.
I have one final objection, Your Honor.
What? Oh, you don't. What doesn't work if you're not a lawyer?
Okay, well then I guess I have a statement I'd like to say.
Okay, proceed.
Fuck you, Judge. You can't tell me that. I can just tell you to fuck off as a citizen now. And I don't care if I go to jail.
He's right. He's found a loophole in the law.
We objection and take that in visual novel adventure game Phoenix Wright, Ace Attorney, this week on How Did This Get Played?
Welcome to How Did This Get Played, the show where we discuss the worst and weirdest and wild, wild westiest video games of all time. That third W courtesy of Dr. Man Batman. Submit yours at GetPlayedPod, hashtag WWW. I'm a fourth W, Nick Weiger, along with Heather Ann Campbell.
Hi, I'm Heather Ann Campbell, along with our producer, Matt Apodaca.
Hello, everyone.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back, Bucket.
Edge. Now, we have a couple of great guests here returning to the show, and we have a game that I adore this game, and I have a lot of thoughts on it, but, you know, maybe not everyone feels the same way. Maybe to some, this is, we're about to descend into gaming hell. But before we do that, it is first time to do as we always. Spend 70 seconds in gaming heaven talking about a game we enjoy. Matt Apodaca, take it away.
All right, so, look, call me Johnny Handheld, okay? Because I went ahead and I pre-ordered the what is it called? The Playdate. I almost forgot what it was called. And I'm not unique in this. I know Heather also pre-ordered it also, not even that, pre-ordered it before me and also convinced me to pre-order it. So okay, I'm talking about this, and this is this makes no sense now that we're unpacking it.
We should call Heather Johnny Handheld. Is
okay,
what you're
saying. Yeah, Heather is Johnny Handheld, and I'm Handheld Junior.
I feel like the audience should know what a play date is, because it just sounds like we're downloading, like, Hangout time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, so
me
I
and
had
some
a,
preteens
a
are gonna go to
misunderstanding. Of what
go
I
to
got.
A jungle gym.
It's like a little handheld video game device that has a crank on it and two buttons and a directional pad, and that's it. And all the games that are coming out for it are being sent to it via Wi-Fi. And there's like, it's like a, I don't know, what would you call it? A boutique handheld video gaming system? Because it's not like you can buy the games elsewhere.
Yeah, it's like an indie platform. Okay.
But it's all like the gimmick of this is it's disrespectful.
He just disrespects the segment every week.
Sorry, I'm just a fa- it's an interest. It's because it's like intentionally lo-fi, right? I don't have one, but this is what I heard. Okay.
Yeah, Nick, you got to get one.
I mean, I tried. They were sold out.
It sounds like an excuse to me. What do you say, Heather?
I'm pretty certain that they don't sell out of the pre-orders. It just pushes back. That's really suspect.
Okay. Look, am I lying? Yes. No, I whatever. I clicked the link that you shared, and I couldn't get one for whatever reason. I'll try again. I am curious about it.
There was on a the glitch, pre-order I think, day. Somebody, yeah.
Yeah. There was okay. there was an issue. All right. Site wide, but yeah, I don't know. You might be able to get one, and also, depending on the production, if they're speedy. Playdate was saying that they couldn't make a guarantee, but if you got one that was scheduled to come in 2022, there is a chance it could come before the start of the year. So it just like depends on how fast they're cranking them out.
The three of us will get our grubby little hands on these bad boys, and we'll cover it on a future episode at some point.
And we paid for it. We didn't get it for free, so shut the fuck up already.
What?
I already heard. I could hear them. Oh, they got it. Them, you know.
Do you have like an open phone line while we're recording the episodes?
They're already saying it. Shut the fuck up, you dorks.
We'll cover that in the future. But right now, we are going to get into this week's game with our guests. They host the YA Pulp Fiction podcast, Teen Creeps, Great Pod, Lindsay K. Tai and Kelly Nugent returning to the show. Hi, Lindsay. Hi, Kelly.
Hi.
What's up?
I was like to do this. I'm Lindsay.
Oh, I'm Kelly.
So people know my voice.
Right. Yeah. I'm Nick.
There you go.
I'm Matt.
I'm Heather. Now I feel pressured to do it.
It's fine. Okay. I didn't need to start a whole bit, but thank you.
But that's what Lindsay likes to do. She likes to come on a podcast and be like, you guys have to do it this way now.
I was saying, everybody knows your voice. I'm not on this podcast all the time.
I love it. I want to talk about two of you, first off, because you're great guests, great podcasters, but also because your podcast is so focused on reading. And I think one thing that our podcast and your podcast shares is that there is an inordinate amount of prep each week. I've done your show a couple of times, and it's a delight, but it also always involves reading a book. And the two of you hosting the show, you're doing this every week. Like, has this ever reached a point where you're just like, boy, this is overwhelming?
Every week.
I mean,
every week I'm like, what is this gilded cage that we have constructed for ourselves that pays my rent and yet chains me to these horrible books that I love,
right,
but are bad? are by right. and large bad books.
Well, because you and the two of you, I assume, chose the subject matter because and Kate, I know you in particular, but I assume the both of you are big readers. Like, reading is a passion. Yes.
Yeah, for mm-hmm. sure. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a similar sort of thing we've run into is like we started the premise of our show because we love video games, and then we end up playing a bunch of like bad video games or offbeat video games. And then our spare time that we have reserved for this hobby that is a passion of ours ends up being like just immolated because we have to, you know, burn these hours instead playing some garbage for content.
It's like, hey, you like sex? Fuck a horse.
Yeah. Yeah.
Every week for 5 yeah. hours.
I was like kind of running into that because I was streaming, you know, on my personal stream, but I was playing a bunch of like really cursed dating sims for a while. And I was like, damn, why am I doing this to myself? Like, why
right.
am I playing a game where my boyfriend got amnesia and I'm going to romance his doctor? Like, why? Of course I did. And then I ended up being a nurse because that's what women can do.
That's what happens. Fall in love with a doctor, you become a nurse.
Yeah, exactly.
But dating sims are adjacent to...
Yeah, visual novel-y,
they're visual novels. It's the same sort of genre. I mean, is that a genre you like as a big reader?
Yeah, I do. I like that genre. It is one. Okay, so the iOS version, I don't know about you guys, but it wouldn't let me like click to automatically populate the dialogue.
Mm. Same.
Which I always do that. I'm always like, do. Like, I'm constantly. And so that was, like, bothering me. Although I do really, really love this game. But, like, that was one of those things where every time I play a visual novel, I like to, like, do it according to my reading yes. speed.
You're not having to A button through every single dialogue box. Like, some it'll just kind of stream in there. That's what you're talking about, right?
Right. Well, yeah. And, or I'll, like, because you can... Like, you have to click before the dialogue is like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
And then so you have to instead wait for it to completely finish, but it's slower.
Oh, okay.
And some visual novels will let you adjust how fast that goes, or some dating sims will do that. Like, you can do like super fast speed, so it'll just like basically automatically appear all the way.
Have you guys seen that speed reading app that puts all the letters on top of each other in the dead center of your screen and flies through them so quickly? Or maybe it's the words. No, it's the words.
I think I've seen something like that.
Yeah, it's the words are like dead center in the screen and they auto speed through at a pace faster than you think you can read, because part of the slowing down of our process of reading is that our eyes have to move across the page and find the words.
Mm. Yeah.
So this is a thing where you put a book in it and it just basically blasts the words at you as fast as possible.
That's amazing.
It sounds like a nightmare.
That's something like that's like lit, like watching YouTube videos at like 2 speed or whatever. That's like,
right.
Like, beam it into me. It's so funny.
You'll sometimes, and you know, as podcasters, like, people will sometimes comment that they listen to the show on like 1.5x or 2x speed. And I'm like, what are you doing? Like, how much
good?
Yeah, no,
you like
get through it. Get fucking go.
Look, we know how long the episodes can get. I know you don't right. have all that time. Just get through it.
Yeah. When we have an especially long book and it happens to be an audiobook, I will switch back and forth between reading and the audiobook at like 2x speed if I'm on a walk.
Wow.
So that I can try to save some time. That doesn't right. happen often, though, because most of our books are out of print and do not have an audiobook and honestly take like an hour and a half to read.
Yeah, they're not too bad.
Yes.
So... But imagine if it was like 15 seconds and you could get the book in yeah. to your brain, but yeah. you'd have like blood in your mouth.
Yeah.
But also right.
just eyes like crying yeah. tears for the rest yeah. of my life. Yeah. Tears of blood.
Yeah, because instead of just knowing the book, you understand the book. And that's
I am the book. It's as if the book were my subconscious thoughts and then yeah. I think I'm the characters. That sounds truly like it would drive me insane.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, I just like, I, for me, part of my the fun of consuming content is consuming it like at my own pace. Like when it just becomes of like, how much can I get into my brain as quickly as possible? I do find that overwhelming. I don't find that relaxing at all. Lindsay, I'm curious, do you have have you ever played a lot of visual? Have you played many visual novels? Have you played games like Phoenix Wright other than Phoenix Wright?
I have not played many. Would Loom be considered like a... There are a Loom's lot of words in Loom. I played that as a kid, but it's not quite a visual novel. So.
No, that'd be more classified, I think, as a graphic adventure, if you're pedantic, which I am.
Well, we are on a video game podcast. If you're going to be pedantic, it should be here.
But Loom is like a story forward game, and that is like so much about like the world and the characters as much as the, you know, the light puzzles that are present. Mm-hmm. At least my memory of it.
Much like this, I would get like stuck and frustrated.
Yeah.
But this is really probably the only technical definition of a visual novel game that I have played. Because I have not played many video games, as I've said before. But I do have to say, I did love this game. I love this game.
Yes.
I want it's to great. Play it all the time. It is my new Twitter replacement. So God bless.
Much
it may be saving my mental health.
Yes.
Twitter is more fun if you scream at it, take that. Every time you post,
objection, take that.
Kelly, you mentioned that you're playing a lot. You're playing dating sims and you like visual novels in general. Are there any that stand out in your mind as like ones that you really enjoyed?
Yes, actually, there's a game I played recently. I don't know if I talked to you guys about it. It's like a mix of like a walking simulator and a visual novel. And there's like, I don't know if you've played Paradise Killer. It's really fucking good. You're like basically, it's like this weird city pop, like future punk world where you play Lady Love Dies. Mm. All the names are really cool. And you've been exiled from this place. And then you basically someone kills like all of the people that rule this island. And you have to go down and like investigate that. And you used to be an investigator, but you fucked up on a past case. So that's why you were exiled. And, there's like, you know, basically what you learn is that like, or I guess you know this going in, but like in this world, people and gods live on these islands and gods are trying to find perfection. And so they keep destroying getting all the gods to leave, destroy the island, start a new one. And it's all like weird and like interdimensional space. And also all the characters are very hot and you can romance them. And like,
hell yeah.
So I really recommend that game. That soundtrack is like tops too. So I think it's out on Steam and Switch actually has it as well.
What's it called one more time?
Paradise Killer.
Paradise Killer. I have not played it.
And when you say City Pop, is that the soundtrack? It's like a City Pop soundtrack? Oh,
yeah.
Shit.
It's really fucking good. It's
that
so good.
That makes me want to play
I was
game.
Like listening to that soundtrack for a while because a lot of it's, you know, I think one song has lyrics and then the rest of it has none. Mm. So I was listening to that while writing for a while because it's just very, I don't know, it's really cool too because it's like a really fun, cool soundtrack and the world is very like neon, but also there's like this weird like ancient dread doom element going on because you'll come upon the like sacrifice rooms which are like drenched in blood and there's gold statues everywhere. Like it's really cool. I think the developer is this indie like British company, I think, and I think it's maybe their only game, but it's really good.
Cool.
Wow. And speaking of speaking of cool games and cool of characters, thank you. This game also has some characters.
Again, I would just like to say hot characters.
Okay, I'm shipping everyone with everyone. Oh,
wow.
I played this game when it was originally released on the DS, which was the first, I think, North American release of the Phoenix Wright series. And I think it came out for Game Boy Advance in the past.
By the way, mind-blowing. Like, it's like when I learned that this game's initial release was 2001, 20 years ago on the Game Boy Advance. I was like, this is a legit, this is like a Pac-Man. This is a full blown. No, but I mean, like, it's like 20 years of Phoenix Wright games. That's a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it has a, it has dynasty. A huge, that absolutely a dynasty. There is a, there is an enormous chronology, expanded universe. There's all these different characters involved.
A live action movie.
Yeah.
There's, beautiful. Beautiful.
With the costumes and the wigs and everything.
I love
that's
that.
Fantastic. Well, I'm definitely looking that up. I thought about, I was like, I should probably research the game before the podcast. And then I decided that I wanted to be delighted by all the information that you guys tell me about it. And already that decision has paid off.
Well, I did want to say that that when this game first came out, I remember it being like, it like was a real mind blowing thing for me, just because I'd never experienced a game where this was the kind of gameplay where it was, you know, not, aside from like most games are puzzles and combat. And yeah, this game has puzzles and verbal combat, if you will. But it like the setting is fun, is pretty mundane by video game standards. Also, I really like, you know, one thing that I'd played before this game and one thing that I played after experiencing this game. But like if there's a courtroom scene in a video game or a trial scene in a video game, those tend to be very memorable set pieces. One is the Heather, I'm sure you remember the trial scene in Chrono Trigger is just like a, such a thing that happens pretty early on in the game. And it's just like, I just remember being like, wow, this is wild. But then also, and Kelly, we've talked about BioWare games when you were on the podcast previously. But in Mass Effect 2, which I'm playing the Mass Effect franchise for the first time via the Legendary Edition, one of the characters, one of the party members, Tali, has a whole trial involving like her, like, you know, faction, her society.
Yeah.
And that's like a really cool, like, I don't know. It's just like a really cool way to experience a dialogue and world building and have character twists and revelations. It's just, there's a reason it works so well dramatically in film and TV and theater. And I love seeing it in video game form.
Well, and especially in this game, it's like heightened drama, right? It kind of has that like anime feel of like, you know, like woof kind of feel, you know, which I love. So it's
and the
very
extreme expressions.
And like, oh my God, the way that Phoenix, right, like puts his, like he'll put his head like up, down, right, left, up, down, right, left. And he'll be like, what? And like, I loved that. Like, this game's great.
So many great faces in this. This week's game, Phoenix Wright, Ace Attorney, Heather.
It's a visual novel adventure game that, as we've mentioned, takes place in a courtroom, but also across other settings in the city. It was published by Capcom in 2001 for the Game Boy Advance, and then finally released in the United States on the DS, I believe, in 2005. I should double check that.
Yes, sounds right. Yes. 2004 or 5, great. Something like that.
It has been released on Windows, the Wii, iOS, Android, Nintendo 3DS, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, and the Xbox One. It follows the story of Phoenix Wright, a rookie defense attorney who's trying to get all of his clients declared not guilty.
Right.
There are other characters such as Mia Fey, Mia's sister Maya, prosecutor Miles Edgeworth. Your primary mode of interaction with the game is by tapping, or at least I play. Now, I don't, I assume this is how you play it on all of them. You tap the screen or you click a button on various dialogue options or evidence. There's like a briefcase of evidence that you have, and you can present it to the court or present it to individuals that you're interviewing. The story is anime-esque and, if you think of this as a courtroom simulator, then you would not understand how actual courts work because nothing that happens in this game, if it happened in a court in a case, that would be the trial would be thrown out and they would start all over again. None of what you were experiencing, like you cannot base this on like a courtroom drama that you've seen on television, what you're supposed to do. You guys understand what I'm saying.
Yes.
My favorite detail about the game is that on the DS version, and I assume on every version that has a microphone in the system or equipped as a, like a plug into your fucking Windows, I don't know, you can scream at the game. So if you have an objection in court, you scream objection. If you have evidence that you want to present, you scream take that. And that what? Is, yeah, if you have the handheld systems, you talk to it. And that's awesome.
Wow, that's awesome. I really missed out on that. That is awesome. I would love to have been doing that.
That's perfect for my uncle because he's used to just screaming at Fox News. So that would translate. You mentioned that the courtroom stuff is so just like, and you know, obviously this is Japanese developed so like I'm sure some of that reflects the peculiarities, the unique qualities of their legal system. But there is stuff like, I don't think that you would that on a witness stand in any jurisdiction, maybe I'm wrong, that it would be like you would just lie and be caught lying in your testimony. And then the judge would say, like, that is a contradiction. Care to revise your testimony? And then you just get to say something different. Happens like throughout.
No, it's like full of like. Okay. I used to be a lawyer. I think I've said this before.
I was going to say, do you guys know how appropriate it is that you asked Kelly to play a
to cover this game?
She defended me when I killed that kid. So yeah, that works out
right.
They did not like that I put a parrot on the stand. but there's like so much in this game that I fully love that they're just like, we're making up our own legal system. Like,
right.
Like there's even a kind of like a like wink, like, where they're like, recently,
I was just about to bring that up.
Yeah,
in the new millennium.
They're like, we've decided to do cases in 3 days. And I was like, right. What? And also the fact that like investigation of the crime occurs during the trial, like it's by the attorneys.
By the lawyers, yeah.
That are breaking into people's houses and like touching everything and taking everything and keeping things secret. And then also like the judge is like, okay, judges can be in people's pockets, but the judges are like so openly like the prosecutor's little bitch. Like, it's, yes. So, like, it's like you're watching like the prosecutor's basically like, are you a dirty little bitch pig? And the judge is like, yes, yes, I am. Like, it's very, like such. And then it's just like Phoenix Wright is there.
That's everybody's reaction. Oof.
And then Mia's like, this doesn't seem right. But it's,
also, I'm a ghost. I'm projecting onto the body of my sister. You can tell it's me and not Maya when my boobs grow.
What a confusing story beat that is.
Love
that her soul is in, she is merging with her alive sister and making her more bosomy. Mm-hmm. And then you are communicating with her spirit in that way. It is very strange. That also makes me want to note that the characters in this game are, and I'm sure this is partly because it's anime, but the characters are unreasonably young. Phoenix Wright, the lead, a young prosecutor, 24. Okay, I'll kind of buy that, fresh out of law school, kind of a prodigy, fine. His assistant, the aforementioned sister, whose body gets inhabited by the older sister, is 17. He's got a 17-year-old working in his law office. His boss, the established person, is 27. And then the hotshot prosecutor who you're against in the early cases, Miles Edgeworth, also 24. Everyone's so so young in this.
And then the judge is 80.
Yeah, the judge, he's old. He's old. Dude,
he is Santa
Edgeworth.
Old.
Edgeworth, okay. I was really shipping Edgeworth with Phoenix Wright because there was just, I mean, especially later when you get the backstory about how he's like, they're just like, I believe in you. Like, I wanted to become a prosecutor / I wanted to become a defense attorney because of you. And all of this is for you. And also just like, Lindsay and I have talked about this on our podcast. We are trash that loves enemies to lovers. And this shit was like, they're adversarial. The tension was through the roof. I was like,
I was shipping Edgeworth with a much more obscure character, AKA me.
Your fanfic that you write is like Edgeworth / reader. Uh-huh.
Now, Miles Edgeworth, he's just so the audience understands what we're talking about. He's a lawyer. He's 24, but he wears a suit that's like from the 18 or 1900s.
I was going to say, it suggests he's a duke of some sort.
Yeah.
Yeah. Instead of a tie, he has like a multi-pleated sheet of loose fabric hanging from his neck.
What's that? What is that called? It's like
ruffled
not
collar.
Quite an ascot, or like he's got like a ruffled ascot and cravat. I don't know quite the fashion terms, but
it's a little bib. I think is the term. Little bib.
He also has Nick Weiger's haircut.
Yeah, he does.
Which I think is worth mentioning. Like this like long but manly haircut that is in the same color as Nick's. So
yes.
Yeah.
And unlike me, he's pulling it off.
Did you really like Edgeworth because of that, Nick?
I like Edgeworth even though he's a prick, but like he does have the arc that you mentioned, but I mean I'm such like a I think a big part of why I like this game is that Phoenix Wright is such like a the in over his head, like, you know, like when he gets defeated, he gets like all sweaty and sad. It's like
his irises disappear.
Yes. His energy I really respond to. Just the guy who's like, ah, fuck, I'm not ready for this, but I guess I'm going to do it, you know, because that's kind of my approach to life in general. And it's and also it, like it's. I love how broad this game is, I guess, is the other thing. Right down to like a lot of supporting characters have names like I got a few of them here, but names like April May or Red
April
White.
May. Sorry.
Yes. Jack Hammer. You know, it's like a lot
Dick
of heart.
Gumshoe.
It's the Dick Gumshoe. Yes.
It's a little bit Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego, the game. Like it's very
100%.
That kind of humor. Yeah.
Yeah. And also, like, you talked about how horny it was. We mentioned how horny it was earlier, but this was an element I'd forgotten about this game.
We didn't use the word, but we touched on it. I mean, we talked about our own tension, but the game itself is also horny.
It's very horny.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, we weren't projecting a ton of horniness on, like, we were responding to the horniness.
Yes. Got it.
Yeah, okay.
But the game also is, it does have its own horniness. And I don't know if some of this got tweaked for the remix. I was playing on Switch. I played back in the day on DS, as I mentioned. But, like, the bosomy jubble, I guess you would describe
the
it.
Titty physics?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. April, May. I every time I was like, you know, oh, I'm going to make you fuck up on the stand, I knew that those boobies would be, she would always like jump up. And I was like, I knew it. It's going to happen.
Every time she winked, I was so disgusted.
Oh, I died when because she would wink and stick her tongue out, right? At
the same time. The boobs would jiggle.
Yeah, I loved it.
And I was like, this is like so much at once.
I loved it.
I'll also say that this game is a thing I had forgotten about this game. I was like, we were going to cover it, and I was like, oh, okay, I'll blaze through this in like, oh, it's like 4 to 6 hours. It's a visual novel. This game is super long. It's like 20 hours.
Yeah.
It's almost unreasonably long. It's almost too much. I guess you get your money's worth back in the day. But
say when you asked like how much time each of our podcasts have to put in, your podcast is a million times more work than Teen Creep. And we are reading a book every week. But video games can go on for so long. Like you could be devoting months to a video game. So kudos.
Yeah, no, we fucked up. We made a mistake.
Who knows on fucking up so beautifully?
and you might not anticipate that at first because elements like the investigation that was touched on earlier, that comes out in later cases. Like your first case is just pretty much a straight up one day trial. Later on, it's like everything is like, oh, okay, I've got a day of investigation, a day of trial, another day of investigation, a day of trial. And some of those cases can go on for some time, but
I have a question about just law and like the concept of how, like, I know that this is ridiculous. I know it's insane, but in this game, the lawyer goes to crime scenes and like rummages through stuff. That would be like Illegal, right?
That's illegal.
That's illegal.
Generally speaking, like, you don't know necessarily the outcome of a trial, but you know what information is going to be brought. Like, there's not, like, going to be a million surprises. Like, you're not learning anything by, like, cross-examining a witness, for example. So you're hoping to fuck them up, but you're not... You're not like, wait, what? Like, yes. You knew about this thing or whatever. But yeah, you're not investigating. Like,
you're not stealing items from the crime scene and then not telling anyone about them and getting your fingerprints all over them. And then sometimes just trading them to witnesses that you're interviewing for other information. And then it just never comes up again.
Would you go to, is this like
yes,
something
you would go to?
Could you be a lawyer and go into another rival lawyer's office and go through his things? Would that be legal? No, okay.
I mean, so, would you, I mean, okay. I get like, because I don't know if he's so much breaking in because he's going in during the day and someone lets him in. Mm. But like, have I done it? I won't speak to that. but also like the idea too of the fact that like the prosecutor is like, almost representing like the way that it seems in the game is that the prosecutor's like representing witnesses, which is weird because they're not. And like, I know that prosecutors can, from my experience, can be very like single-minded and just really want to like get, you know, keep their numbers and like make sure that the person, well, first of all, nothing goes to trial. Everything's, you know, deals and whatever. But this game is very like, you know, at the beginning, Edgeworth, he'll like, he will see evidence that like the witness fucking did it. The witness did it. The witness is being so shady. The witness fucking did it. And he's like, no, it has to be your guy, which is like, I think a normal prosecutor would maybe, depends on how shady they are, would probably be like, oh, okay. Well, like this is my job is to find who did it, you know, or not find who did it, but like, you know, enact justice rather than, but you know, DAs,
prosecutors,
can be tricky.
They can not be tricky. From what I've read or seen on the television.
Not from what I've read or seen in Phoenix, right?
I got my law degree by playing Phoenix Wright as attorney.
I actually had that thought where I was like, because I know a lot of I've heard a lot of lawyers got into the profession, or at least there was a time where like people would like that, like you'd be a kid and you'd watch like Atticus Finch and you'd be like, oh, I want to do that. Like I want that. This is making this career aspirational. And now enough time has passed since the Phoenix Wright series came into the, you know, became a part of pop culture, where I wonder if there are kids in law school now who are like, oh, playing Phoenix Wright got me interested in the legal profession. That's why I'm pursuing this as a career.
Well, that's why I'm pursuing it as a career now. I was like, I would be starting a lawyer.
I have an anecdote about somebody watching a thing and then doing the thing, which is that I once wrote for the NASCAR Awards, which was a fun gig. But there was a guy being inducted into the like NASCAR Hall of Fame. And he had become a racer because he saw Days of Thunder. So like his career path was, I saw this as a child. I want to do the thing that I see on screen. Then he became so good at it that he was like given like a fancy, like he's inducted into the Hall of Fame. And Tom Cruise dropped in as like the surprise guest to be like,
that's amazing.
Hey, man, thank you so much for watching the movie and changing your life. And it was fucking crazy. It was the craziest. That's the end of that anecdote.
Wow.
That made me remember that I once had a writing job for the U.S. Open of Surfing. And then I was like, you're writing for the NASCAR Awards. I'm writing for the U.S. Open of Surfing. Behind every like cool, like, you know, bro or redneck activity, there's some fucking dork ass writer who knows the difference between Jigglypuff and Wigglytuff,
but not any of the sports terms.
No,
to put in the patter.
We should maybe touch on the, or at least I would like to touch on the music of this game. I think the sound design is overall excellent. Heather, you talked about the you brought up the "That's It" or you know, objection, take that rather. You know, the interjections I think are super duper fun. But there's also some awesome music in this game. I just pulled a couple of tracks. One is kind of the trial groove that you'll hear at a more mellow moment. Could live in this for a while, maybe forever. Yeah.
So good. So good.
I love that. Yeah. It's so mellow.
Part of the reason I loved Animal Crossing was just the music. It was just such a pleasant state of mind to be in.
I also the fidelity of the instruments in this. They're so compressed for the DS/Game Boy sound chip that they've got like kind of a grainy scratchiness to them that's really, really sort of aesthetically pleasant.
100%. There's also some, you know, some more intense tracks. For instance, here's one. God, just great. Just bops all around.
So good.
That's like when you've found some piece of information that might be a lead that might crack this case wide open in the courtroom in front of everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Mia/Maya is like telling you, like, you can do this, Nick. Which she calls it.
If it's Maya, she's going like, you're going to be like senile one day, right, old man? And then if it's Mia, she's like, you've got this, Phoenix.
They also made a jazz album that was released, Gyakuten Meets Jazz Soul. And it's a full album of Phoenix Wright tracks that was released in Japan that are all done with a jazz ensemble. Here's a little bit of one of those.
Oh.
Similarly soothing in a very different way. But anyway, there is like great fondness for the audio in this game, and with good reason.
I'm really surprised you didn't showcase the "Now I've Fucking Got You" track, which is my favorite track. When you cinch a case, for those of you who haven't played this game, Phoenix Wright slams both of his hands down on his table,
great
points
animation
across the fucking room, and is like, "Fuck you!" And then this and this like awesome music starts playing that I want. In any general meeting I have for the rest of my life, or in any like writer's room I'm in, if I have a pitch, that's what I want to happen. I want to slam on the table, point at my showrunner and be like, take this, you son of a bitch. And then like, and then that music plays. And then they're like, she did it.
Sweating.
She solved the episode.
I didn't pull that track, but maybe we could insert it in post. But yeah, it is rad.
It's great. Oh, wait, before we leave sound, can I just do a shout out to the sound effects of like you will like whip forth some evidence and it'll be like whoosh, and like, I loved that.
It's rad. Everything is so melodramatic and so over the top, including the story of this game.
Well, wait. One other sound effect, which is that sometimes the witness is so sexy and hot that you will cause a murmur in the courtroom. Like if her titty physics, as you call it, Callie, her titty physics are on display, then the whole room would be like, oh no, 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 and you and the court judge has to like smack the gavel and be like, okay, guys,
stop being so horny, everyone.
Yeah, he's like, I know, we're all horned out.
Yeah. It's as much a reminder for him as
keep it together, old man.
We'll be right back.
while we are still on sound, I would like to say that for anybody else who might be struggling with this on the iOS version on iPhone, it took me about a story and a half to figure out that my phone couldn't be silenced if I wanted to hear the music.
Oh, yeah.
So if you're not hearing it, turn that phone volume on. Not just turn it up, but
the thing
have
on the side.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Got it.
Thank you.
It is a fun game. Like, this is
very fun.
And I usually hate puzzles. But like, I mean, straightforwardly hate puzzles. But this doesn't feel like a puzzle. It feels like a book that's written all out of order. And you have to flip around in the book to find out how to make the story go forward.
Choose your own adventure in that way.
Right.
It doesn't feel like a puzzle as much as it is like the process of playing it is a discovery of what the next sentence is, which is less annoying to me than like, there's that B equals hashtag and L equals rope. Yeah. I don't give a fuck about that shit. But this is like, hey, all right. I want to see him slap the table.
I'm not as big a fan of like brain teasers as I am. Like, it was fun, like trying to use my powers of deduction.
Yeah.
Right.
And it was always funny because like, I feel like the game is good about reminding you about things. Sometimes I think maybe a little bit too much. Like, they'll be like, this person just said this. What does that remind me of? And then you have to replay the scene from before to like remind yourself. But I did like that. It reminded me a little bit of like kind of like Her Story, like a little bit of like solve this through having to like, I don't know, go through the story. When you said being out of order, that's what it reminded me of.
I was kind of losing my mind during the samurai story.
That one's hard.
Which is the one I'm still stuck in, to be honest, which is only like the third story. Because I kept getting in a loop of like, how do I bribe Old Bag, the old lady guard at the studio gate, into giving me her hostage, aka samurai trading card? And then I also have to bribe the fanboy child. But like, what I don't know is first I have to go talk to the assistant who like only pops up at certain times in like, sometimes she's in the studio, sometimes she's in the employee area, sometimes she's in the like Studio 2 trailer. And I was like, I don't know. And so I had to like bounce around for what felt like forever trying to get the right combination of things to trade.
Yes.
But then when I did finally get it, I was like, I'm so smart, even though it took me forever.
There is some kind of moon logic that you can't quite intuit from the game of like, oh, I just kind of have to figure out what I'm supposed to be doing rather than this doesn't necessarily logically follow. By the way, you mentioned the character Old Bag. That literally is her name, Wendy Old Bag. So, and so also, good. Kelly, by sheer coincidence, you happen to mention what the game we're covering next week, Her Story, a very different take on this type of genre.
Whoa.
Yeah. So there you go.
That's nuts. Well,
yeah.
Good. I'm glad you guys are covering that.
I will say that one of the things you've just touched on, Lindsay, about the puzzles being a little bit like, or whatever you want to call them, the solutions to these mysteries that aren't really puzzle formatted, is that they are not, there is sometimes things where in order to solve a case, you need to know something that is impossible for the player to know, right?
Yeah, you can't predict what it is you have to know. You can't go out of order. The game has a specific order in mind sometimes, not all the time, where it's like, well, first I had to talk to Old Bag and then I had to talk to Cody Hackerton or whatever his name is, the fanboy. And then I had to talk to the assistant. I couldn't go fanboy, Old Bag, assistant. I had to go Old Bag. It was like this very specific order. And so that's why I had to keep bouncing around until I got the order of places right to visit to learn the information. And so it's some, like, in that way it is frustrating because it's like, well, I should be able to like find, I shouldn't have to unlock a person in this area by talking to this person first, because that doesn't necessarily make sense. Cause I had like just been to that trailer, assistant nowhere to be found. And then I had to talk to Old Bag, and then I had to talk to Cody Hack Boy. And then the assistant finally appeared in the trailer. Mm-hmm. And I was like, but I was just in this fucking trailer.
Yeah. What will logically lead in sequence to trigger an event does not, it's sometimes it's completely arbitrary.
And, yeah, and it's, I think, not intuitive.
You touched on this earlier, but like, you know, if you are someone playing this game and you just want to kind of experience it or, you know, I would not be afraid to use a walkthrough at times.
I use a walkthrough.
It's just, I don't think you lose much from this. I think it's mostly about experiencing the story, and the walkthrough is mostly going to fill in gaps where it's not like, oh, I get it. It's more like, oh, okay, that's what I was supposed to do. Sure. You know,
I mean, yeah. In terms of the plot synopsis of the movie, which I haven't seen, which also, by the way, is directed by Takashi Miike, who is an incredible director. It's like finding out that like Quentin Tarantino directed the Phoenix Wright movie is nuts. It's very incongruent. But the plot synopsis for the movie is the plot synopsis for the game. So if you wanted to watch like a speed run of the game, you could probably just watch the movie and see it dramatized by real actors in ridiculous outfits.
I'm definitely going to look this movie up. The first time I had heard of Ace Attorney was because it's being memeified on Twitter.
Yeah,
and I'd been delighted by it, and I didn't even know what it was, but I laughed at it every time. And so I was very excited when you asked if we wanted to play this. I was like, oh, I get to play that now.
Yeah.
I think we should all watch the trailer.
It's in the near future. The year 20XX.
Oh my god.
Wow. Oh my god, the judge is very old.
Yeah, dead ringer for the game art.
Oh my god, I love it.
The hair.
They got the live action Phoenix right, and the live action Edgeworth is super hot.
He's so hot.
Exactly.
Oh my god.
Oh
my god.
Yes. Oh!
Side.
We got a like.
Oh my god, that goofy necklace. Yes.
This is outrageous.
Oh my god, that's the guy from like the last episode, the fifth one.
It's incredible that it exists.
Oh my god,
full on to the exact. Wow.
An excellent director, like a top tier fucking director, and it is that hairstyles are lifted from the anime style drawings and put on the people's heads. They don't justify the outfits. Everybody's wearing the clothes that they would be wearing in the game. It's incredible. I
beat
love
for
that.
Beat, what happens story-wise in the this. Game? It seems like the most faithful adaptation that's ever been made.
That's really, that's so cool, though, because also, like, in playing the game, I thought it was really, really cool that, like, everything pays off. Like, all the little details, like, it's all fucking connected, man. Like, everything from episode one, then two, then three. And then you realize like, oh my gosh, like all of this stuff is connected. All of these people have a history. It was really cool.
Yeah. It's a great piece of writing and super stylish and fun to play despite some of the issues with some of the puzzle logic required. And I guess on that note, we should get to our final thoughts on Phoenix Wright. It's time for our review crew. So we'll each say something positive about this game and give it a numerical decibel rating. I love this game. It was fun to revisit it. It holds up really well. They just released, I believe it's the Great Ace Attorney Chronicles, which is a new package of Phoenix Wright Adventures or just Ace Attorney Universe. Or is it the Great Ace Attorney Adventures? Whatever it's called. Whatever the new one is called. they released very recently for Switch in the US. And PS4, I think. So I'm eager to play that as a result of playing this one, revisiting this. I talked about the music. I talked about the art. We like the story. We like the characters. I'll just say it as a really elegant tutorial, which I always appreciate in a game when a tutorial isn't just like let's have a character tell you what to do and you're just going to do it. And we're just going to make sure you know what the function is of all the buttons. But here they just sort of like it's integrated into the story and it's still a game, but it's still pretty seamless. And I find that very satisfying because you get to do cool stuff from the very beginning of the game while also learning its mechanics. I think it's rad and I think it holds up. I would give this a 9.2. Heather Ann Campbell.
Wow, great score. I was expecting to hate this because I know myself and I'm a piece of shit. But I loved it. It was so fun. And I don't know how much of that was that I got my 3DS out to play this, my new Nintendo 3DS Deluxe, whatever the most recent small model was. And I haven't played with that system in a long while. And it was so charming to put in a cartridge of this old game and yell at my 3DS. It was like, it felt in the same way that there are some moments in Kojima games where you're just delighted that somebody was like, we should do this. And somebody else said, yes. Phoenix Wright, the fact that you can scream at the fucking screen and that's how you progress through the game, it is uplifting and like motivating in a way that a game that was just plain text, like press a button as you go through it. Here's the next reveal. Click on the thing. Like, it brings a real sense of player existence and agency and life and joy to the game. I loved it, man.
Wow.
I loved it. I can't believe I loved it. Like, I told Mary, oh my God, you got to play this fucking game. I'm going to tell my mom that too, because she's a gamer now, guys. My mom's like a hardcore gamer.
Wow.
I'm giving this the rare 10.
Wow.
Hell yeah.
Higher than I did.
Yeah.
Amazed. Matt Apodaca.
I knew I could have gotten this on the Switch, but I pulled a Heather, the true Johnny handheld, and I got it on my 3DS. I dusted that bad boy off, and just, I missed that interface, man. That interface is so good, and just like being able to pull out that little stylus and tap on your screen, I had a blast with it. I will also say too that like puzzles of this nature aren't always my thing, but I really felt like, I don't know, I guess a genius, because when I would solve some of these cases, it took me a long time, I will say, to finally actually use or look at a guide. And I would just be like, wow, I guess I'm the best lawyer of all fucking time. I'm so smart. I was really paying attention and I remembered clues. So like, I don't know, this game was not only like a very fun exercise, but I guess, a great self-esteem boost. I'm also going to give it a 10.
Wow.
Hell yeah.
Incredible. Lindsay K. Tye, something positive and your score for this game.
My comment is similar to Matt's, which is that like, it's like a combination of Matt's and Heather's, actually, because it's like, even though you are reading so much of the game, so much, and you're just like clicking, and I didn't even know about, well, for one thing, I was doing it on my phone, and I'm not sure that you have that functionality of being able to scream at the game. I didn't even have that, and I still felt really involved. It still felt like I was making the choices, even though it is actually pretty restricted what you're able to do.
Right.
And if you don't get it right, you have to circle all the way back around. But that doesn't even feel like that much of a hindrance. And I felt like I was really in the game, and it made me feel like I was really smart. Like, I was like, yes, I did remember that. I remembered what that camera was called. I remembered what that card was called. And so you feel like you have a lot of agency and you really feel like you're in it. You feel like you're in that world. I'm going to give it a 9. I'm only knocking it down because of what Kelly said, where it's like on the phone, at least you can't force it to just put all the text up in the bubble. You have to wait. And so you can't control it to your own reading speed. Oof. And so it took a little longer than I would have liked. So for that reason, I'm giving it a 9 out of 10. But I really, really loved it. And I do think I'm going to keep playing it.
You're right. There are some UI annoyances, even on the remastered version. Now I was playing on Switch. There are some limitations that, you know, you are easy to look past, but you do have to look past them. All right, Kelly Nugent, something positive, your score for Phoenix Wright Ace Attorney.
Okay. I also agree. And maybe it's just because, like, in this industry, we often seek validation, but I really liked how smart this game made me feel. Because, well, I did use walkthroughs just because I do that a lot. I use walkthroughs a lot. Like, I'm like,
I was just
I
like
know.
To say I never right. used a walkthrough.
But. Yeah. Wow. I didn't use it for everything, obviously. It was only when I was like, what the fuck am I supposed to do? But I feel that way about like every type of game where, like, you know, similar to like point and clicks, where it's like, because logically it can happen, therefore it must be the way that it happens for the game to keep going. But I just like remember a specific moment that where you do feel smart. Cause like in the last episode where they're like, oh, here's the gun. And it was shot 3 times. And there was like one bullet in the body. I was like, those 3 bullets, that's going to be something. That's going to be the reason why the whole case falls a fucking part. And then it was, and I was like so excited about that. Also just like the humor of the game. Like, you know, if you play a lot of games, especially older ones that are marketed as humorous, often they are not. But this game was really funny and fun. And I loved all the characters. So I will say 9.5.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
This is maybe one of my favorite games now.
Oh,
love it. Love it. Thank you for playing it with us. I'm glad we got to play it and we all loved it. But Heather, maybe we're wrong.
Maybe we were wrong. We've got reviews from all over the internet. And if we had a positive take on this game, then these will be negative reviews. And if we had a negative take, these will be positive reviews from idiots. But we all love this game. we all love this game. So these reviews will be negative reviews from idiots. I don't know.
I mean, you've seen the reviews. Maybe they make a good point.
I've seen the reviews, and I generally think that when people don't like something and they articulate a pretty good point about it, I'm like, that's not for you. But when a game's bad and somebody's like, I like this. I got stuck behind a garbage can for like 35 minutes and the game glitched out, but it was fun. I'm like, no, man, no. Go ahead, Nick.
I've got one. This is from Metacritic. This is from Seth Yu. Phoenix Wright is a terrible addition to the crime genre. In fact, it's a crime of the game developers have even made this game. It starts by showing you who did the crime. What's the point in letting us investigate if you already showed us who did it? It's pointless. Not to mention how bad the actual gameplay is. All you do is say objection and a cutscene plays. Do that about 8 times and you pretty much completed the game. Not true. If I was in the office while this game was being made, I would have objected to this game's development being pushed forward.
Oh, stop, stop, stop. This isn't your fucking writing sample, dog. So this sucks.
That was a 0. Gave it a 0 out of 10. And 1 of 47 users found this helpful.
1 out of 47 dentists agree.
Yeah.
And 46 out of 47 people were right not to find it helpful.
I also have a review from Metacritic. This is from Warren. Almost took that Seth review, Nick. Almost took it. This is the review above that one. The writing of Phoenix Wright is pretty much on par with every other anime you've ever seen. I don't hate anime, not at all. But unlike a lot of anime fans, I realize a lot of it's just plain cliched And Phoenix Wright's writing is on that very level. But of course, this is a game, so the writing isn't everything. If the gameplay is challenging and interesting, it's all good. But unfortunately, Phoenix Wright doesn't have that going for it either. The game is far, far too lenient on you. For example, you can't go to court unless you have all the evidence, meaning you can't accidentally miss evidence, which would be more interesting because then cases could be easier, harder, have different verdicts depending on your detective work. If the judge or someone else asks you a question, the answer is either extremely obvious, or if you pick the wrong one, you just get another chance to choose. And when things get dire, the game will sometimes toss a deus ex machina factor at you to save the day. So I think this is a reasonable negative review. I do think wanting this to be a more realistic trial process on a game where the guy has basically a bird for hair on the cover of the package is asking a little bit much. But yeah, that's what I mean when I'm like, the review ends with, I give it a 4 for barely even being a game, but at least not making me want to kill myself.
Jesus.
Oh, Jesus. Plus. I do understand their point, but kind of like you said before you started reading the reviews, Heather, it just means it wasn't for them.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, and also when they went off on anime, I was like, well, then maybe this game is not for you. Like,
yeah. I know they were like, I don't
hate anime, but
you
all of it sucks.
Like,
yes.
Like that, I was like, oh, well, maybe, I don't know. And also, when people are like, it wasn't realistic enough or whatever, I'm like, then go be a lawyer. I don't know. Like, go do that.
See how fun you think that is.
Yeah.
Exactly. I think that this person's design criticisms, like what the game they are envisioning, is a much more frustrating experience. Where if during the investigation day, yeah, you can miss something and then choose to go to trial, and then you don't have a piece of evidence, you need to close that trial, and then you have to like you'd hard fail that and have to redo the investigation day.
And
like that's like that would be
why.
So tedious, and you'd never know why, because some of the stuff is so arbitrary. So I like how. I like that the bumper that it's bumper bowling. I like that you can't really hard fail this game, you know, unless you really, really try. I got one more. This one is from the Steam store, and this is a positive review, but I also think it just does a really good job of summarizing the experience of playing this game. This is from the Pants.
Oh yeah.
100 hours on record.
Oh, wow.
Insecure defense attorney deals with the ethical issues of his occupation in not Japan by simply refusing to take any guilty clients. He has to deal with the world's worst police department, biased judges, evidence withholding, and an endless tirade of lying witnesses who have a suspiciously low chance of being pulled for perjury or contempt of court. This, combined with the verbal, mental, and physical abuse of opposing prosecutors, would normally be a daunting task, but he is able to fight back with A, the help of a small group of children with abilities in insight, food, and demonic possession, plus B, a ghost with big knockers. It's quite good.
That's
great.
Great.
Yeah.
That's great.
Hey, it's time for the question block.
Ding! All right, this one, we sort of answered this one, but I'll read this and I'll read another one. This one's from @bootycasket on Twitter. I knew it was going to make me laugh, and I really tried to, and it really, but it really got me.
Made you giggle.
Like,
yeah,
I expect more from Johnny Handheld.
Well, it's also what you don't know is that I'm not looking at any of you. Like, I'm just looking at my screen, so I can't see you. To hide, I'm hiding, but you can see me. So Booty Casket writes, do you think he's hot? And we all agreed yes, but I just wanted to clarify that. Yeah, of course.
Who Phoenix or the other dudes?
Well, here's the thing. If we're going to compare, Edgeworth is hot as shit. And like,
he's hotter than Phoenix.
He's way hotter than Phoenix, right?
Yeah. By design.
Phoenix is still a hunk. And okay, so this next one, the real question that we'll focus on here. This one's from @KoopaKirby. On Twitter, and they write, Phoenix Wright actually has an extensive crossover history. He crossed over with Professor Layton, appears in Marvel vs. Capcom, and in Project X Zone, he was Goro Majima's defense attorney. What game needs the crossover next? Where else can we see Phoenix Wright popping up?
Wow, great question. Yeah, I knew the Professor Layton connection. And yeah, I honestly had forgotten he was in a Marvel versus Capcom. Is that three?
I think he's in three, yeah.
Okay.
I would love if he was in Grand Theft Auto 5 and like if you committed a slew of crimes, yeah. you had the option to go to trial and he would do his best to defend you. And it'd be like, well, you're on camera in front of a gas station, backing up a fuel truck underneath an overpass to block traffic and then blowing up a half city block with a bazooka. And like Phoenix Wright is like, no irises, sweating gray.
His first guilty client does not know what to do.
I think, maybe if he was in, you know, it's a Capcom franchise and thinking of other Capcom franchises. But I feel like if there was a Mega Man crossover and he has to... Instead of defeating the robot masters in combat, he has to defeat them in court, or he just has to defend Dr. Wily. Like, let's see him try to defend a megalomaniacal, you know, supervillain and see if he can pull that off. Make that his toughest task.
Let's understand this correctly.
Yeah.
Now, Leaf Man. You mm-hmm. are weak to Fireman, aren't you?
I would like to assert my Fifth Amendment privilege. I'm curious, Kelly Lindsay, is there a crossover event that's happened in like YA literature? Was there ever a point where it's like, oh, this character from this franchise moved over to this other author's franchise? Is that a thing that happens?
Full on event? No, I don't think so.
No,
but
no.
Like Easter eggs, because like R.L. Stine's books are all in the same.
I was going to say that's the closest you get to a crossover is like you'll have like Fear Street book crossovers within the same franchise. So like you'll be reading Silent Night 2 and it will mention a character from like New Year's Eve Party.
Oh.
But it's like, oh, she's having a party. And then it's like something happens off page. We don't actually go to it.
It'll like mention Town Slut. damn it. What is her name?
Reva Dalby?
No. She's Town Bitch. Town Slut.
I don't know.
I can't remember her name, but she comes up. She's like just in line behind somebody at the movie theater in one of the books. And it's like, ugh, her. And that's like it.
And that's it.
Wow. One of my favorite, I'm just thinking of crossover events and in the legal profession, but I'm always reminded that canonically the Lincoln lawyer is Bosch's brother.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wow, that's great. That is a crossover for the ages.
Troubled family.
Yeah. That's like a stepdad's like greatest dream come true. Just like, fuck yes, that's like his end game.
Yeah.
Oh, there's crossover in Stephen King books.
Oh, yeah, Stephen King as well.
But it's always like the author's characters.
Right. I love that shit. I eat it up. Hey, hit us up on Twitter and Instagram at GetPlayedPod. Send us an email at GetPlayedPod@gmail.com. Or leave us a voicemail at 6162PLAY. That is 616-275-2933. Our music and engineering are by our MVP, Devin Bryant. You can follow him on Twitter at BaffleGabs. Our guests, Lindsay Kaytai, Kelly Nugent, the podcast Teen Creeps. Tell us about the pod and anything else you would like to plug.
Well, we talk about, as you stated, YA pulp fiction, and our definition of that is basically the horror and suspense novels of the 80s and 90s, Christopher Pike, R.L. Stine, Lois Duncan, Caroline B. Cooney, etc. It's a really fun podcast. We've been doing it for 5 years.
Jesus Christ.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, give it a listen. It's wherever you find your podcasts. Yeah.
Yeah, check it out. It's a great pod. Super, super fun to listen to. Super fun to do. Thank you both so much for doing the show. And thank you so much for playing Phoenix Wright.
Thanks for having us. Man.
Yeah, really fun. Thank you for giving me an excuse to discover this game.
Yeah.
I love it. And hey, on that note, Matt, it's time for you to tell us next week's game, which we already touched on.
Yeah, next week's game, Her Story. Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye, Bucket.
Edge.
Objection yourself! Objection yourself!